Today's daf in Masechet Sotah is daf Lamed Beis. And just to put things in the right perspective, we're going to have Sir Richard put his whole heart into this daf Lamed Beis by introducing... Doc was sort of accepting. Okay, so now, surprisingly, we move on. Is it so surprising? We just had such a long discussion of issues of language and diuk and how to say the Shira and how to read the Shira. And now, all of a sudden, we're moving on out of Sota. You'll notice that there's been an unusual preponderance of issues that have to do with writing and how to write and what type of scrolls to write and what type of diot to write and what type of chemicals to put in the diot to write and precisely what it is that the Kohen says. And now all of a sudden we're going on to universal questions of language. Do you think that our tripartite Masechet might have something to do with language after all? Indeed. So, we finally get to some fundamental issues about languages. This despite the fact that Alon is a little bored today for some reason. And even Richie's entire heart that he poured into this has not managed to cancel the Daga Belev Ish. Therefore, we encourage him. Daga Belev Ish, instead of Yashichena, read this as Yashichena. And we can even be Yasichena B'divrei Torah, and that will take away all the daga, Bezrat Hashem. And Hashem should send you a Yeshua. Okay, great. So now to begin. Elu ne'emarim b'chol lashon. So we've got a lot of things that can be pronounced, and sometimes must be pronounced, b'chol lashon. Now, b'chol lashon means, it seems to mean, that you could say it in any language that you want. So in other words, Parsha Saita, when the Kohen is speaking to this woman, he could say what he wants to say in any language whatsoever, so that if she is a Borough Park girl, he could talk to her in Chinese. That is a little bit difficult to believe, as Tosfos points out. I mean, so does it really mean B'chol Lashon? Or does it mean bilishonam? Maybe that should be the correct use. In other words, you have to say it to the person in the language that that person understands. Okay, this is a major issue in terms of the actual halacha, because I mean, all of these things, there are actually, as Tosfos suggests, that the correct use should be the elu ne'emarim bilishonam. It has to be in their language. If it's true that it's B'chol Lashon, which is the way the Bavli has it, not the way the Mishnah appears in the Yerushalmi, so then the B'chol Lashon, even though it would seem to mean any language, what is the din? Does the person need to understand that language or not? Most of the Rishonim say yes. Obviously, if it's in Greek or Chinese, and he doesn't speak Greek or Chinese, then it's not going to be the message to the Sotah, which says, Amen, Amen, without even knowing what he said. Obviously, that's not true. But then there's this other amazing issue that is the Mishnah Berurah's thing, which is that all of these other Lashonos are only Lashonos in the area where these Lashonos are spoken. They don't even have a din of Lashon in an area where they're not spoken. So, for instance, if you try to speak Hebrew in Israel, that's not going, I'm joking. So, actually, the one Lashon that is a Lashon anywhere is Lashon HaKadosh, because that is the Lashon. But all of these other Lashonos, which, as the Rishonim put it, are just Haskamot B'nei Adam, they're not real meaningful Lashonot, they're evolved Lashonot, which have to do with a social contract, essentially, they're only meaningful in an area where that social contract is active. So suppose this woman is, in fact, a Chinese-speaking woman, and you speak to her in Chinese, but the problem is that you are in a country in which people don't speak Chinese. Is there a country that people don't speak Chinese? I don't know. Maybe we should move on to Tonga or something, but whatever. So if it's not in a country where people speak Chinese, So then, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you wouldn't be yotze either. So that means there would be three issues: the individual's understanding, the location, and then the question of the difference between Lashon HaKodesh and other Lashonis. All right. And anyway, having said that, so this is true of all of the following things. The Parsha Seita, the Vidui Meiser. Remember, Vidui Meiser is the Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayit, and this comes once after 3 years, fourth year, and the last year, which is after the 2 years of Meiser Sheni, 1 year of Meiser Ani, 2 years of Meiser Sheni, 1 year of Meiser Ani, and then you get rid of everything from your house, and you say the Vidui Meiser by that Pesach in which you did that. And this is true, even though what it says over there, specifically it mentions those things that are given to the Levi and the Ani and so on. So that's what he says. Biarti HaKadosh Ben HaBayit, V'gam Natativ LeLevi, that is specifically Meiser Rishon, obviously, and LeAni, that's Meiser Ani, and all of the other things, by Meiser Sheni, I took to Yerushalayim, Lo Achalti B'Menu B'Tamei, and the truth is, there's Ramosim over here to the other Matonais, of Bikurim, and Truma, and so on, everything I got out of my house. You can say that in B'Kol Lashon. Again, take into consideration the meanings of B'Kol Lashon that we just described. Kriyat Shema, Tefillah, Birkat HaMazon, that all we know, Shavuat HaEdut, which is where somebody is responding to someone who says, anybody who knows Edus from me, I'm making you swear, you deny you know Edus. Yes, Amen, we deny we know. That could be done in any language. Shavuat HaPikadon, I believe that you owe me all of that money, you never gave it back to me. Swear, Amen, in any language. But there are other things that are Nemarim only B'Lashon HaKodesh. And that includes Mikra Bikurim, Arami Oved Avi. Woo-hoo-hoo, this is serious Lashon stuff, man. Oh-ho, we're going to see where we get that from. All of these things are based on the Pesukim. Arami Oved Avi has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Ketzat, we're going to go through on each one of them afterwards, and we'll bring the Pesukim. Chalitza, where over there you have the whole back and forth between the Yevama and the Yavam. Me'en Yavmi, lo chafatzti lekachtak, acha ye'aser le'ish asher lo yavam, and so on. All of that's got to be done in Lashon HaKodesh. The same thing is true about Parshas Egla Rufa, where we have the whole discussion, kaper la'amcha Yisrael, and so on. All of that, that the Bezdin comes out from Yerushalayim, that with the Egla Rufa, that's what has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. The Mashuach Milchama, who is going to speak to everybody and address the way in which they're approaching their Oyevim, Shema Yisrael, he says to them, and gives them the whole drosha about how they shouldn't be afraid and everything else. All of that has to be said. Also, B'Lashon HaKodesh, that you are standing now to fight your enemies in Lashon HaKodesh. And this would be true also of the, as we said, of the brachos and the klalos, not only of the things that we say in these separate activities, but things that were done once in history. So after chalitz, we had the brachot and the klalot that were said on Har Grizim and Har Eval. Birkat Kohanim, Birkat Kohen Gadol, Parshas HaMelech. So all of those things are also said dafka in Lashon HaKodesh. That's why even in the most secular shuls, the Birkas Kohanim is always Yivarech Hashem, not may the Lord bless you and keep you, and so on. The bracha of the Kohen Gadol and the Parshas HaMelech, that's referring to the special kriyas that we have, and that's the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. After he finishes all of the Avedas HaYom, he reads from the Sefer Torah, and he has eight special brachas that we were mitaken on that special kriya. And then, of course, we have the Parshas HaMelech, which is Parshas HaKel. So now we're going to go through how we know each one of these. Mikra Bikurim Ketzad. Remember that the word Ketzad in the Lashon of the Yerushalmi, and this Mishnah is the way that they were speaking still in Eretz Yisrael, means where does it come from? Ketzad. Well, it says by Bikurim, the Anita the Amarta, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And that lashon of the Anita the Amarta is very special, because it also says, when it comes to Amida and Hargrizim and Hareval, it uses the lashon of Ve'anu Alevim, Ve'amru Al Kol Ish Yisrael Kol Ram. And that, we're going to see, is only in Lashon HaKodesh. So Ve'anu Ve'amru, Ve'anita Ve'amarta is the same halacha, and therefore it has to be B'Lashon HaKodesh. How do we know that that's true about Chalitza? It says Ve'anta Ve'amra. Same idea. Wherever we use Aniya Ve'amira, that's what it means, B'Lashon HaKodesh. Afkan B'Lashon HaKodesh. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need a Gzeira Shava. It says Ve'anta Ve'amra Kocha Ye'aselish. We can read that Anta Ve'amra Kocha. She has to say it in these exact words. Achitomar B'Lashon HaZeh. Okay, how are the brachot and klalot and hargrizim and hareval? How exactly did they take place, and where do we see that they were specifically in Lashon HaKodesh? So brachot v'klalot ketzad. Here the ketzad means ketzad, literal ketzad. What was done exactly? Well, kivan shavru Yisrael et hayardenu v'al hargrizim v'al hareval. When Klal Yisrael crossed over the Yarden, the first thing they saw was a big sign that says, you are currently in Barnea's neighborhood. And therefore, they knew that they were in Hargrizim and Har-Eval, undoubtedly. That's the same raya that Avram Avinu wore a yarmulke, as you know. It says, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, would he have gotten up without a yarmulke? Of course not. If Klal Yisrael crossed Hargrizim and Har-Eval, would they not have seen a sign that it's Barnea's neighborhood? Of course not. So this Hargrizim and Har-Eval was Bishomron, which is near Shechem, which is near Elonei Moreh, and I can prove it to you, because the Torah gives very concrete directions. Halohema be'ever ha'yarden etzel elonei moreh. And it says, Vayavor Avram ba'aretz ad makom Shechem ad elon moreh. It says beferish that elon moreh is by Shechem. Ma elon moreh amur la'alan Shechem, af elon moreh, that is said over here by the brachos and klolos, must be Shechem, amur kan Shechem. So now, what happened? Well, the six of the Shvatim, at six of the Shvatim, went up to different places. Shisha shvatim alul rosh hagrizim, v'shisha shvatim alul rosh har eval. Meanwhile, the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Oren Habris, they stayed between hagrizim and har eval, down at the bottom, as it says in Yoshua. This is a little bit strange, because in the pasuk it says that Shevet Levi went to har eval, but the Gemara is going to ask that. We're going to be mechalek between what Levi was in har eval and the Levim that it says here were Lamata. And the Kohanim were surrounding the Oren Habris, and the Levim were surrounding the Kohanim. And now you have surrounding them on Hargrizim and Hareval, all of Klal Yisrael. So now, because it says, the Kol Yisrael, Uzekeinav, Vishotrim, Vishoftav, Omdim, Mizeh, Umizeh, Laharon, and so on. So those who were underneath, and they were standing by the Oren, they turned towards Hargrizim, and they started with a bracha that was juxtaposed with all of the klolas. Even though it doesn't say the brachas, they turned every klola into a bracha. So if it's Orora Ish, then over here it becomes Boruch, right? So they started, the opening was always a bracha. Baruch ha'ish asher lo yaseh pesel u'masecha. And then all of Klal Yisrael on both Hargrizim and Hareval called out, Amen. Then they turned, the same coin Milavim turned towards Hareval, and they said the same thing in the Lashon of the Torah of the Klala. U'patchu de Klala, arur ha'ish asher yaseh pesel u'masecha. And here again, elu ve'elu onim, Amen. They go through all of the brachas and klolas in this way. They then finished, took the avanim. And these avanim are these enormous avanim that they took in order to build. When once they crossed the Yarden, and the nace happened in the Yarden that it opened. And remember, we saw that this was very similar to a breaking of the waters, so to speak. And in the Bia of Yisrael, it's like a male-female relationship. So this was a breaking of the psulim, so to speak, of Eretz Yisrael, and Elu psulei biti. So what's the Elu psulei biti? They took the Avonim out of the Yarden and brought it with them in order to present this incredible moment in which they entered into Eretz Yisrael to make a Mizbeach out of them. And then they needed to take it afterwards and bring it to Gilgal. This was a major deal. But this, they brought it to Gilgal only after they wrote Kol HaTorah Kula and Shivim L'Shayais. Aha! So we're back to Lashon again. So then they wrote Kol Divrei Katvu Alav. First of all, Sadu Besid. You can't write just on raw stone. They cover the entire thing with white seed. How do you say, lime, right? So it was plastered with lime, basically, which made it nice and smooth. Then they wrote Divrei Torah on it, B'shivim Loshein, because it says Ba'er Heitev. Ba'er Heitev means that it should be completely well explained, which means that every word has to be there. Now, actually, it's a big machlokas, because, I mean, the pashtus of Ba'er Heitev is really that it was Mamish Ba'er Heitev. That's how the Ramban learns, that even though it's a nace to be able to write the entire Torah 70 times in 70 languages, even though these were enormous stones, as we're going to see. But B'derach Nes, they were able to do that. Lemaisa, we have the fascinating, fascinating suggestion that Reb Sadia Gaon learns that when it says the Torah Ba'er Heitev, it means the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So they wrote the Taryag Mitzvahs as a Sefer HaMitzvahs of each mitzvah. So this is like very serious Rambam, right? So that they actually, that is what comprised the Kol HaTorah and Shivim L'Shayinis. That's the Ba'er Heitev. Az lo'evosh ba'abiti et kol mitzvaysecha, as the Rambam begins his Hakdama. Okay, so then this was the introduction to the Rambam. I guess the rest of the Rambam was written only in Hebrew. Okay, and then they went v'lanu b'mikomans, and they had to carry all of those. Of course, first they had to bring the korbanos. And then after they finished everything, they then took everything and they went to the Malon. And remember, the Malon was the place where they did Milah, and that became Gilgal, which was the place where Hayom Galoti Cherpat Mitzrayim Agalechem. Beautiful. So the whole story is incredibly interrelated with all of the things that we've been learning in Yetzias Mitzrayim, Knisa La'aretz, Arami Ovid Ove, Yom Ha'atzma'ut. I mean, this is serious stuff. Okay. Says the Gemara, okay, how do we know? You say Parsha Sota has to be in Lashon HaKodesh, in any Lashon. Dichtiv va'omar ha-kohen le'isha. That means b'chol lashon shu omer. He says it to that woman. Obviously, we're talking about a woman. It said before, mishbi'a ota ha-kohen v'omar el ha-isha. So the point over here is that she has to know what he's talking about. And therefore, it means he talks to her in whatever language that would mean. Fine. Tanu Rabban. Mashmi'in ota b'chol lashon she'shomat. She has to understand what she is buying into over here. And you have to explain the entire issue here. Alma hishota. B'ubama hishota. The alma hinitmet. Ubama hinitmet. What do I mean with all of this? I mean, alma hishota. Why is she drinking? Only because of kinoi v'stira. Not because we're choshed her because of her behavior, but because she was poretzet on what her husband had said. Ubama hishota. Remember that we explained how important mida keneged mida is. And that's why she's drinking the mikida shel cheres in order to show that she had done maisim that were low class. She drinks from a low class. Alma nitmeit, al iske schok v'aldut. What got her to such a place if she actually had been nitmeit? Well, what gets a person to that place is not that they really know what they're doing. It starts with just being, you know, childish, kidding around, and it becomes serious. Why are we saying all of this? Because remember, all of the nashim are supposed to be there and learning about life from this event, so we need to talk this out. And uvama hinitmeit, we have to tell her that it makes a big difference whether it's b'shogeg or b'mezid or b'ones or b'ratzim, because otherwise, since the mayim is only going to work if there was no ones and there was no shogeg, So we don't want to be motzi laz on the mayim. So in the event that this guy did sleep with her, but it was more of a date rape, and she's feeling, you know, guilty about it, and then the water doesn't work, so she's going to think the water doesn't work, and her friends are going to think the water... No, we explained to her that in the event that this was more of a rape, then it's not going to work. The kokach loma shalolo tzi la'az alamayim, that's exactly the point. Almayim amarim. Okay, let's move on to vidui meiser. How do we know vidui meiser has to be said, or can be said in any language you want? Tichtiv, the amarta lifnei Hashem lokecha biyarti ha-kodesh bin abayit. And that word of Amira, we learned from the Saita, because we've Amar al-Aisha. Now, this is amazing, because it turns Saita not only into a Masechet, in which we discuss the inyonim of language, but to actually the Mokar in the Torah for how it is that we say things in any language. B'chol Hashon Shomer, Amar Rav Zvi L'Abaye, well, why don't we learn out the Amira of the Levim and Agrizim and Areva? Over there, it also says, V'yanu ha-Levim v'amru. So why don't we say, Malan ha-Baloshan ha-Kadosh, Afkan baloshan ha-Kadosh? For the obvious reason. The anu v'amru is different than v'amru. So donin amira gredata, me amira gredata, the word v'amar is different. Ein donin amira gredata, me aniya v'amira. Wasn't that the whole point? Wherever it says v'anita v'amarta, that's where we're learning out. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer. You see that a person should say good things about himself, not loudly. Ugnuto, but bad things about himself he should say loudly. Why? Because we see that the Shevach is b'kol namoch. That we see, Vidoy Meiser. Vidoy Meiser, you're saying, oh, I did everything right. Lo avarti b'mitzvotecha, right? Lo shachachti, wow. Am I great? But it doesn't say v'anita over there, which means to proclaim. It means you say it. Okay, so you say it to yourself. Masha Enkein, when you're saying the things that are bad about yourself, then you say them aloud. Gnuto b'kol ram, you learn from mikra bikurim, and that's Pesachim b'gnus, u'misayim b'shevach, right? So the Pesachim b'gnus, you have to say v'anita v'amarta. And there you're talking about Arami Oved Avi and what it was that originally even our Oveis were Oved Avi Zorah and so on and so forth. As the Rambam explains, for who Ovedim I am, poor little Avram, used to go to church. That's part of what you need to say. What? I thought you're not supposed to say bad things about yourself. That's a modern idea. That's Facebook. You're not supposed to say bad things about yourself. How could you say that? Gnuto b'kol ram? Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Gufa Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who said, Mipnei mati gnu tfila b'lachash. Why was it that the Nevi'im, we find by Chana, that there was already a takona to speak in a whisper when you daven? Kidei lo levayish et ovrei aveira. Because the person is going to be maskir his chatoyim, and we don't want people to hear. Why do you think the Torah says every single time, what is that? That's the beauty of it. Because since no one will know, why is this guy bringing a carbon? What do you mean? He donated a carbon. He's a big tzaddik. But if there was a special place for chatas, then people would say, oh, look at this guy. He was over on Issacharis. Oh, naughty, naughty. Wonder what he did. And so on and so forth. Right? So because of that, the Torah says, no, it's got to be in the same place where the Eila was. And that was for exactly for this purpose, in order not to be Mavayish, a Re'avera. So how could you say that a person should say his Gnus, b'kol Ram? I'm sorry, you're right. Lo tema gnuto. Of course, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai didn't say things that are disgraceful to a person that he should put on Facebook. Ela ema, as Rambam says, you're not even supposed to do teshuvah that people should hear that I did X, Y, and Z. That's between you and God. It's a chutzpah to say things in public. Ela ema tsa'aro. This was the tsar that I had. That should be said b'rabim, and that's the Arami Ovid Avi. Look what we go through as Kalal Yisrael. You want to complain about anti-Semitism? That you do in a loud voice. Because we learn that from Tzoras, v'tamei tamei yikra, tzorich lo dio tzara l'rabim. You have to tell everybody, oy, what befell me. That way, rabim mevakshim alav rachamim. V'chol mi shi'ira bo davar, tzorich lo dio tzara l'rabim. That's why somebody who is in Tzaras has got to let people know. V'rabim mevakshim alav rachamim. So that is what he really meant when he said that Arami oved avi. Gufa. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Mipnei Matiknu Tefila Belacha Shelo Levayesh Et Ovrei Avera. And how do we know that? Sharei Lo Chilek HaKatuv Makom Bein Chatas Lo Ela B'Makom Asher Shecheta Ola. But that's not true. Because when you put the blood on the Mizbeach, you put the blood in different places. Oikadamim. When the Kohen puts the Dam of a Chatas, he puts the Dam of the Chatas on top of the Chuta Sikra, and the Dam of the Ela is put on the bottom of the Chuta Sikra, and it's put in different ways that everybody's going to know if something is an Ela or a Chatas. No, that's the Kohen who knows. Nobody else can connect the blood to the person that brought the carbon. They don't know who it is. The Kohen who hasn't kavana for it's this person's carbon. He knows. Okay, fine. A Kohen is basically your psychiatrist, you know. You could tell your psychiatrist, but it doesn't mean that you'll put it on Facebook. So, well, wait a minute. I mean, if the guy brings a chatas, aren't males different than females? I mean, last I heard, the chatas is an akeva and the oila is a zocher. I mean, people are going to know, aren't they? No, they're not. Because hasa mikasya ba'alya. Since you're bringing a keves, the keves has got that big fat tail, and therefore it tells no tells. So you don't know whether it's a zocher or a keva. Well, what about if he doesn't bring a keves? What about if he brings a seira? So tena kafsa, seira ma'ikalamema. You know what? If this guy is such a dumbbell that he doesn't care if everybody knows, so who cares? Let him do what he wants. The Torah is telling you the correct way to act. If a person insists on joining Facebook, he deserves what he gets. So, hatam iudaka michsef nafshe. He's embarrassing himself. And therefore, I mean, he boy lele to ye kafsa. The Torah gave him a recommendation to bring a kafsa. And he goes around and brings a seira so everybody should know. Well, what about avodas kochavim over there? You don't have any choice. Over there, you can only bring a seira. Dolo sagile delav seira. What are you going to say about that? Over there, avodas zara. We don't give a hang if the guy is embarrassed. He deserves to be embarrassed. It's good for him. That way he'll have a kapora. And therefore, in that case, we say, very good. Nichsef and Ezer, let him go embarrass himself till the end. Ki hecha deni chaperle, because he needs so much kapora over there, the busha is gufa part of the kapora. So, asks the Gemara Kriyat Shema, you said that you could say Kriyat Shema any language that you want. How do we know that? Minola. Tichtiv. Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael means whatever you're shomea. Basically, b'chol lashon shata shomea. Tanu Rabbanan, Kriyat Shema actually is kichtava, divrei Rebbe. So apparently Rebbe holds that Kriyat Shema has to be said in the same language that it's written. How's it written in the Megillah? That's all discussion. In the Mezuzah, we talk about the Mezuzah, Tefillin, we talk about the Sefer Torah, that depends, because if you hold the Sefer Torah, it could be written in other languages, so Kichtava doesn't necessarily make sense. Okay, but in any event, we know for sure that where we have that, the actual parsha of Kriyat Shema written specifically, so it's only B'Loshan HaKodesh. And therefore, it would mean that according to Rabbi, it's Dafka, where does Rebbe get the idea that even though it says Shema, that you have to say Shmiat Kriyat Shema Lashon HaKadosh? Amakra, Vehayu HaDevorim. Vehayu, remember always, Vehayu is the word that it must retain its existential identity. Bahavayatan Yiyu, as they are. That's the way they have to remain. And so, authentically, those words are in Lashon HaKadosh, V'Rabbanan. Rabbanan say, but we just told you. It says in the Pasuk Shema, which means B'chol Lashon Ata Shomea. So what are you going to do, Rabbanan, with the Pasuk of Vehayu? Ahu Shelo Yikra L'Mafreya. Vehayu means that you have to read it as they are, meaning in that order you have to read it. This is all discussion that we've spoken about before, what Mafreya is referring to, because we had that funny approach of Rashi, which we've spoken about many times, that he says that is literally the pasuk is said backwards. So bisharecha beitecha mizuzot instead of mizuzot beitecha bisharecha, as opposed to saying that the psukim are out of order. Okay, but this is not the place to go into that again. And according to Rebbe, How does he know the din of Shlo Yikrenu L'mafreya? Minolei, because he uses Vahayu to say that it has to be in Lashon HaKedesh. That he learns out from Vahayu HaDevarim. And it says an extra hey. So then that is saying that the hey, the meaning of the hey is specifically as it is, which means it has to be in the correct order. V'rabanan, so why can't they learn that from HaDevarim, and then they would have Vehayu available to tell them what Rebbe said, and then it would have to be Dafka B'Loshon HaKodesh. Well, Dvarim, HaDvarim Lo Mashmalu, they don't view the hate as being choshev enough to be Dorish, that it means Mamish, it has to be precisely like that. And what about according to Rebbe? Rebbe learns that Vehayu means it has to be Bavayetan B'Loshon HaKodesh. What does he do with the Pesach of Shema, which means, as long as you understand that language, Ahumi boy, Shema, says Rebbe, means exactly what it says. Shema means to hear. And to hear means Lashmi Elozoch HaMashat HaMotzim Mipicha. It means that when you say Kriyat Shema, you have to say it aloud so that your ears are hearing what it is that you are saying. V'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, but that's not true. There's Savi Lakamandi Yomar Kriyat Shema V'lo Yishmi Elozoch Yatsa. So that means that there's no be'etzem chiyuv. I mean, it's a hidur, but it's not ma'akev, the kriyat shema, to say that it has to be literally shema, literally heard. And therefore, according to Rabbanan, they use that pasuk instead of saying to hear, they use shema to mean in the deeper sense of to understand, which is b'chol lashon shata shomia. Why am I getting the feeling that Ari is coming after me here? I don't know. That those waves look like the same ones outside my window, Ari. Okay. So now, according to this, if I need a pasuk to tell me that I have to say Kriyat Shema in Lashon HaKodesh, so then that means if I wouldn't have had that pasuk, I would take for granted that actually, when you're saying over Divrei Torah and you're reading from the Torah, you can do that in any language at all, right? Because it's only the specific pasuk that teaches us Vahayu. It has to be this way that changes it for Shema. But that would mean that Lema Kasava Rebbe, so that means according to Rebbe, then Kol HaTorah B'chol Lashon Nemra. So in other words, when it is that we're reading from the Torah, and what exactly that means, B'chol Lashon Nemra, according to Rashi, it means that Kriyat HaTorah, actually, in the Tzibur, that Kriyat HaTorah can be in any language, which is a big problem, because L'maisa, that would be dependent about whether there is a mitzvah specifically, I mean, the Kriyat HaTorah, if it's a Drabonon only, which is the Mashma, that's only a Takana Drabonon. So Tosfos says maybe we're talking about Mikra Bikurim. You know, in other words, the things that are specifically have to be said as they're written in the Torah. Maybe that's what it's referring to. Okay, I mean, there's obviously answers to the Torah. But again, this is a sugya that we've done at length in Brochus, I don't think, and we talked about in Megillah as well, the implications of this about what language you could write the Torah in. Tosfos goes through a whole possibility that this is actually the two sugyas are interdependent, and that those who would say B'chol Lashon, it's talking about especially the way the Rabbeinu Tam learned, it's talking about that they don't hold of that Gemara. And so, again, I don't think that it's worth it for us to focus on this now. But anyway, would that mean that he holds that? Because he's HaKadayta B'chol Lashon B'Lashon HaKadosh Nemra. If, according to Rebbe, anyway, whatever we read from the Torah has to be in Lashon HaKodesh, why do we specifically need for Kriyat Shema that extra word Vahayu to tell me that only Kiva Havayatan? So apparently, this is a Yotzei Min HaKlal. This is an unusual situation. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. Because since it says Shema, remember, we have two ways of understanding the word Shema. Shema could mean any language that you hear, that you understand. And Shema could mean you have to hear what it is that you're saying. So because it says Shema, according to Rebbe, it says Vayu to teach you that when it says Shema, it doesn't mean any language. It means you have to hear it. And that's why it says Vayu, to clarify that in terms of the words, you have to be saying it in the way in which it was written, exactly as Bahavayatan implies. Okay, but could we maybe make the opposite from the Chachamim? Because if you're going to tell me that the norm is that the Torah can be said in any language at all, why did they have to bring a raya from Shema to say that, well, if you're reading Kriyat Shema, you can use any language. If you're saying anything, you can use any language, right? And so apparently it must be that the idea is that this is unique and that the rest of the Torah has to actually be in Dafke and Lashon HaKodesh. And over here, we have this special dispensation the Torah gives us because it has to be Lefi, what you're Shomea. Not necessarily. Because we could say the same thing that we said for Rebbe in the inverse. In this case, we need to say, even if the Tukala Torah Kula would be Bechol HaShon Nimra, since it says Vehayu, and Vehayu also has two interpretations. So that's the question, Vehayu, does it have to be said in the language as it was authentically, or does it mean in that precise order? So because of that, if we wouldn't have had this word, this extra word, Shema, I would have understood Vehayu to mean, like Rebbe said, keep it the way it was originally. And therefore, say the Rabbanan, we need to have Shema to tell me, make certain you don't understand it that way.